Since I got 15 minutes, what I'm going to do, and this is right before Jubilee, I'm going to give you all the bone part of the message, and some other time I'll preach it all the way through, but I at least want to break the verse down and give you all of it, okay? Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
If my people, by the way, that's saved people, that's people that know God, that's people that have been changed, that's people that live for God, which are called by my name, you're a Christian or little Christ, shall humble themselves. Number one, last week we're talking about hindrances to healing. Pride is the enemy of healing. You want to know why we don't have much healing, much revival? We got too much pride. Amen? But let's go to the second point tonight. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and what? And pray. Number two, hindrances to healing is prayerlessness. You know, I had somebody, how many's ever got a backhanded compliment that they was trying to rip you down? I was asked not too long ago why we think it's so important to have pre-prayer meetings. And don't I think that's just taking too much of my church's time? I've been told that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's a sick way to think. Because it's prayerlessness that's leading our nation to hell tonight. It's for us not praying. Somebody help me preach. By the way, prayerlessness is a cousin to pride. Here's what prayerlessness says. I don't need to call on God. I can make it just fine without him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie from the devil. You cannot make it without him.
Amen.
Charles Finney said prayer is an essential link that leads to revival or healing of our land. Will you turn with me to James chapter 5? Then I'll take you to the reference verse that this refers to in 1 Kings chapter number 18, I believe. If you're in James chapter 5, say amen.
Amen.
By the way, I practice this verse. I believe in this verse. And I want you to hear it.
Yeah.
If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a little more than I was going to read. Look at James chapter 5. Are you there?
Amen.
I'm getting there. I'm going to start. I wasn't going to, but I am now. In verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I don't believe in prayer lines, and I don't believe in making a show. But if you're sick enough that you need healing, you ought to call for the elders and have them pray over you.
Amen.
Somebody help me preach.
Amen.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, here's what I want you to see. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
Listen to this. Elias was a man subject to life's passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months.
Right.
How many believe that story?
Amen.
Notice. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I say to you tonight that most of our problems are prayer because of prayerlessness.
Yeah,
now, the condition of prayer is righteousness. Listen to this scripture. I may come on this one pretty hard, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I'll tell you why we're not hitting the ceilings with our prayer. We got too much sin in our life. And you like to pray when it's convenient. Or you like to pray when there's something big happens. And you say, I don't understand why nothing happens. I tell you why. You didn't prepare your heart and got rid of your sin first. I'll tell you what America needs to do. I'll tell you what our churches need to do. We need to get rid of our sin and become holy again and become separate again. Then God will hear from heaven. Then, if you want to, and I don't mind you to, I encourage you, just turn over to 1 Kings. Let me give you the reference to what he was just, man, Lord God, I feel some preaching coming on me. Turn to 1 Kings real quick, 18. I'm just going to take you to the reference about this scripture. 1 Kings 18, if you're there, say amen. Amen. The character prayer in the person here, look, and verse number 42, when you get there, say amen. And Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Now, the person of the prayer was Elijah, and he's a man of like passion. Here's what our problem is. We look at these great men that had great prayers answered, and God did great things in their life, and you, some way in your mind, think that was for them, but for not for us. If that's so, why did he say he was a man of like passion? He's just like us. We had the same availability in prayer that he did. We just do not grasp it. God's no respecter of person. God answered Elijah, and he can answer John Smith. God gave him rain, and he could send the rain for us. The place was Mount Carmel. By the way, your Mount Carmel don't have to be over in Israel. You could have a closet. Or you could be like some of the old timers and go up in the woods and find you a stump. But find you a Mount Carmel. Find you a place where you could get a prayer closet and get prayers answered. Then the posture in his prayer, look at the verses. He put his head down in his between his legs. He bowed himself. I tell you what, some of us need to get back on our face and pray. That's the proper posture. Get as humble as you can. And by the way, it's not necessarily you laying down that's going to bring humility, but you need to lay your heart down and get your life laid down. You need God to see that you're really meeting business. Then the passion of prayer. He started praying. You know what Queen Mary said, Chad? She feared the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Scotland. I wish they'd get a time in our lives that when we started praying, it would shake this whole community. And that they would fear the prayers of Tays Valley Baptist Church. Somebody say amen. Most churches in this community not even open on prayer meetings, so I don't know if they're going to get much prayers. Somebody help me preach. Listen to me. We need to have a passion in our prayer. Amen. Then we have to look at verse 43. We have to have a persistence in our prayers. Yes, and he said to the servant, go now and look toward the sea. And he went and he looked and said, there's nothing. And you know what he said to him? Go seven times. Because you don't get your prayer answered the first time, that means you ought to stop praying. You need to be persistent. You need to be consistent. We need to not stop praying. Oh, I'm about ready to get happy. I like the rest of this. Y'all want to see the rest of it? Then the power of prayer. Look at 44 and 45. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud. Woo. Out in the sea, about the size of a man's hand. You said, well, there ain't no little cloud the size of a hand can bring rain. Well, you're not listening to me tonight. I've got a God that said, you pray to me, I can take a little cloud the size of a hand and bring the drought to an end. Somebody say amen. It started raining cats and dogs. It started getting after it. I'm telling you, you want to have rain? You want to have revival? You want to have healing? Then get on your face and be persistent and don't quit. Lord have mercy. I heard a story. I'm trying to get all this out tonight. If I do, I do. If I don't, I don't. But I heard a story about D.L. Moody. How many's heard of D.L. Moody? How many in this church has heard of D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody went on vacation to England. As a pastor in England, asked him to come and preach to his church. So Brother Moody, being the gentleman he was, he didn't come prepared to preach. He was on vacation, but he said, I will go and preach. He went and preached, and when he got done preaching, you know, I don't know if y'all know what them old preachers used to do, but they all carried a journal. That's why we have some great books and some great quotes from us. They all carried a journal. And D.L. Moody wrote in his journal that morning, this is the deadest place I've ever been. And then the pastor said, come back tonight. He came back that night and there was somewhat of a move. Some people got saved. Some lives seemingly got changed. And he got on a train and headed to Scotland to finish his vacation. When the train stopped in Scotland, there was a memo said, come back. Come back. Revival has landed in the church. He came back from vacation. He didn't go on vacation. He came back. 400 people were saved in 10 days. The whole community was dramatically changed. And you might say, what happened? Well, like Paul Harvey said, here's the rest of the story. A 80-year-old widow named Marion Adlard read one of his sermons and started praying that God would let him come to her church. And it was her church, moved by her prayers, that God's providential hand brought him into that place. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a God that's behind the scene just wants somebody to pray. Whew. Let me give you a little more, can I? I'm trying not to rush this, but I do want to give you enough of this to sink in a little bit. Let's look at the third part that y'all quoted. Seek my face. Now, I want you to hear me carefully. Chad, priorities are a hindrance to healing. The word seek means to search out by method or any method, especially by worship and prayer. See, the rain's coming. And the word face refers to countenance or to turn toward his direction. Healing does not come to people. Listen to this. Hey, Jeff, this is the best thing I'm going to say all night. Listen to this carefully. Healing does not come to people who seek for healing, but healing comes to people who seek God. See, here's the problem. Next week, we want to have some kind of jubilee. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you what, sometimes we pray wrong about it. Give us a great jubilee. No, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to seek his face. You want to have jubilee? You want to have power? You want God to move? Then you seek his face.
Yes, sir.
Good preaching, Reverend. Let me. Dear God, I'm going to go ahead and go fast, but I'm going to give y'all some of this. Let me give you a good example. By the way, how many, there's another good verse you can memorize. I'll give you part of it. Draw nigh to God. And he'll what? You want him come close to you? You get close to him. The closer you are to him, the more he'll come your way. Let me give you an example of that in the Old Testament. And if you want to go over to the chapter, you can. Or just make a note. I'll give you the chapter. 2 Chronicles 20. One of my favorite. Hey, by the way, you singers all love 2 Chronicles 20. It is awesome. But let me give it to you. Anybody want to go over there? Go ahead. I'll read most of this to you. In 2 Chronicles 20, there's a man named Jehoshaphat. How many's ever heard of Jehoshaphat? He was a good king. Number one, in verse 1 and 2, he confronted the problem. The problem was the children of Moab and the children of Ammon had surrounded him and had come up against him there at En-Gedi and was going to destroy him. By the way, you can't run from your problem or hide from your problem. You need to confront your problem. You want to see God? Confront your problem. Lord, it's 8 o'clock. Can I give y'all just a little bit? I promise I'm going. But you need this. You need this. He also consecrated on his purpose. Look at verse 3. If I don't get anything else, look at that. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to what? I'll tell you what. Can I say something about us? I'll tell you what our problem is. We just don't fear God much. And that means respect God. We need to fear God. And then he contemplated the past. He went in verse 5 through 7 and started being reminded of what God had done in the past. I just want to stop a minute. Let me ask you, all of you, this is a big crowd tonight for Wednesday night. How many of you, God has moved in your life in the past? Well, let me ask you a simple question. If he done it in the past, do you think he could do it again? If he done it before, he could do it again. Let me go ahead and run through this. Whoo, glory. And then verse 8 through 11, he claimed a promise. See, God told him, I'm going to give you the possession. You know something? It's time for us. And I'm not a name it and claim it guy. Okay, I'm not a Joe Osteen type. Thank God. But I do think there's some promises God has given us that we ought to claim. That he'll hear us. That he'll heal us. He'll forgive us. He'll give us healing if we ask him. Then he confessed his powerlessness. Oh God, wilt thou not judge them? Verse 12. For we have not might against this company that cometh up against us. Neither know we what to do. By the way, it's a good sermon title, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. But our eyes are upon thee. I'll tell you what I'd like for some of us to do is realize that we can't do it ourselves. How many things have you tried to fix and you failed? There are just some things can't be fixed unless God fixes it. And then he continued in God's power. And I'll hurry. He committed to praise. We're going to win this battle. How are we going to win it, Lois? You know what we're going to do? I'm not going to send no cannons out. I'm not going to send no archers out. Choir members, You're going out first. Am I right? You go out and start praising him. Ladies and gentlemen, you want God to move? You seek his face. You start worshiping him and then praising him, and you'll see something great happen in your life. And I tell you what happened. That thing got so crazy, the enemy started killing one another. And then he claimed the provision, and he went out, and it took them 3 days to get all the spoil. They got rich overnight. I tell you what. God's got some things for you and me if we just seek his face. Then I'll finish and I'm done. But I should try to close this thing out. Y'all try this sometimes. Then lastly, presumption is a hindrance to healing. We need to turn from our wicked ways. Some people say, I'm saved, and some of the things I do just don't matter. Yes, it does. You can't social drink and have the power of God. You can't smoke your weed on the weekend and have the power of God. You can't go to some filthy movie and have the power of God. You can't get on the internet and watch pornography and have the power of God. You got to turn from your wicked ways. See, we need, hey, by the way, we need to repent. Instead of covering our sins, we need to repent. I'll tell you why we don't have revival. I'll tell you why we're not having much healing, because we cover up too much sin. By the way, you cover your sin, you will not prosper. But I wonder, and I'll close tonight, and I'm going to go over and sit down. But stand with me. I wonder how many of y'all, big crowd like this, just come around this altar and just use those 4 points. Humble yourself and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. Is there something you want from God this next week? Why don't you come and show him? Father, touch this invitation. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing, Lois. Come, you ought to come bring your family.